Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Rhett Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
This is Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. Back for a special Monday episode. I'm Dan Garcia with
the curator.
The curator wearing the appropriate shirt for the people watching on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. A lot of Ohtani today and a lot of Ohtani for the last month, seeing that he, or you know, so far this month, but he did win NL or AL Player of the Week.
I was going to say, if he does not get Player of the Week, then that award is a joke. Back-to-back Angels getting the award, has that ever been done?
It has been done, and we'll get to that towards the end because it gives me time to look
some
up.
Premonition?
Yeah, right. it gives me some time to look up the tweet because I saw it and I just got to find it again. Yeah, cool. Exactly. So let's get started first on the game. I believe the Thursday game, or was a YouTube game. Do you like those YouTube games when it's like exclusively on YouTube and it's just kind of, I don't know, not new. It is fairly neutral, but it's still, I don't know.
I watched one earlier this year. I think they're in, I want to say Houston. And there's a lot of just weird dead air time from like the broadcast. I was like, I mean, it has to be the one, the main one. But it was just like the transitions, the lack of like commercials or whatever it may be. And it just didn't go well. And I think all three announcers, the play-by-plays and all that, they're all in three different places. Well, had Matty V in New York. You had, I think, Gooby on the West. And then they had a Astros guy.
Oh, yeah, on that one they did, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just awkward. Yeah, they're not seeing each other. Mm-hmm. It was just,
Yeah, and that's a part of it, too, with the YouTube one. This one wasn't as bad because Matty and I forgot who was the guy doing the Detroit side of things. XMLB player, name's escaping me, but at least him and Matty were in the same spot at the same time. Gooby, again, was in a different location, was at the Big A. So, yeah, there's a lot of stepping over each other. Like, they both want to say a point, and then they both say it, and they're both laying out for the other guy to go, and it's, like, dead air for, like, a good, like, 2-3 seconds, which feel like 2-3 minutes. Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, but I guess hopefully sooner or later the chemistry and people can do this stuff like in person and kind of get it flowing a little bit more. But Thursday,
I know. I think you should just leave YouTube for like people jumping off roofs and onto trampolines and getting hurt.
Not
for baseball games,
box opening stuff, or
that kind of weird stuff.
So Ohtani's on the mound Thursday again. Ohtani pitching, it seems to be now a almost Angels national holiday, if you will.
Oh, I know, especially on reopening day.
Reopening day, exactly. This is the first day back with full capacity. A lot of stuff hype for that. Angels were pushing it hard for the last couple of weeks as far as like, half price tickets and stuff like that. It seemed okay on TV. I don't know what your, the crowd.
As far as like capacity?
Yeah, the crowd. It wasn't the Dodgers. Like, we don't like to compare against the Dodgers, but at least those guys showed up. But I don't know. I don't know what it was. But it didn't seem like a complete sellout, at least. I mean, the crowd was nice. Don't get me wrong. It's good for a June game. But for reopening day, I thought there was going to be more people.
But I would say even if, pre-pandemic, a Thursday game would probably draw even less than that. So I don't know.
We'll see.
And they always say, this many paid.
Oh, that's such a trick.
And that's another 10,000 less.
Oh, yeah, that's such a trick.
You know, all the season ticket holders.
Well, not only that, is like they can give out, let's just say, 1,000 tickets to like three different charities. Like,
Little League.
Little League or daycare.
Or Roger Lodge. Or Halo Honk Night.
Right.
You know, it was Halo Honk Night.
You're right. Was it really?
Apparently, I've never been to one.
I don't know either. But hey, you know, that guy. But yeah, so like that, those numbers that they give to those like those little charities still count, even though if they only sell or they use like, you know, 25% of it. It's like, oh, but we still sold that much. So yeah, hopefully it gets better as the
And how season. Are the A's drawing like 6,000?
They're good.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Oakland or Ohtani takes the mound, like I mentioned. He would get some help off the bat from this great defensive play in the outfield.
Anthony Rendon back tomorrow. First ball swinging is Akil Baddoo, and that one's into right field. Baddoo showing that flash. He's around second on his way to third. And throw there is in time.
So a really great rally from Taylor Ward to Renjifo to Keen Wong. Like I said, great defensive play. Something that hasn't been happening a lot with the Angels early in the year, and you've noticed it as fans.
Yeah.
It's just a lack of defense.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think we're right up at the top of something you don't want to be at the top
airs,
of.
Yeah.
Airs.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to take care of the baseball. That's what they always say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
take
definitely.
Take care of the ball.
And that's always been, I mean, going back to the social time, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to pitch well and you're going to play great defense.
Yeah.
And it's just, it seemed that some points this year, they would pitch well. They would get like those ground balls or those easy balls that you can, you know, get a, you know, whatever, 6-3 put out, and for a reason it flies over or bobbles the ball or something like that. So now it seems like the defense is coming around a little bit more. It's been a little bit better in the last couple weeks, and I think that's a big part of the Angels like winning, is that they need to make those routine plays.
Yeah, defense and base running. I would say we saw some base running on Saturday night and even yesterday. Like they're playing base to base and
taking advantages of situations too, which you haven't seen in a long time. So in the bottom of the second, Luis Renjifo would single in Keen Wong for the first run.
The last thing you want is hitters to be comfortable.
Base hit through the hole. Wong coming around to score. Throw gets away from Haas at the plate. It's an extra 90 feet for Renjifo.
And how awkward is that? If you watch the YouTube game, they're talking to a pitcher in Detroit dugout, you know, during the game, which is cool. But then this play kind of started the downward trend for that guy. It's like his buddy is still on the mic and he has to talk about like, oh, tell me about your outing. What'd you do this? And meanwhile, his buddy's being like lit up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and exactly. Cause the very next at bat, David Fletcher comes up to base.
David Fletcher hits the hole on the right side. That scores Renjifo, 2-0 Angels.
So exactly, it makes it 2-0 up early on this, you know, Detroit Tigers team that we talked about last time where they weren't great. They're not great. So you had to kind of get up on them early, get on them often. And that's exactly what the Angels did. Ohtani would give up a home run in the sixth inning to Jonathan Scope, making it 2-1. And something that you said while we're at the game on Saturday is like, that's the guy.
Yeah, you were looking at that roster and you're like, I don't know him. I don't know him. That guy used to be okay.
Right.
I guess he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's not so well. And then you see Jonathan Scope, okay, yeah, he's got some power, and he gave it to us for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny, and we've always, you know, I remember me and Johnny would always talk about that. There's always seems to be like one guy on every team that, you know, whether it's Gallo or like Chris Davis when he was on the A's, always seemed to get the Angels, and now it seems like Scope was the guy this season.
And then they have Nomar Mazara, and Nomar Mazara, when he was on Texas, he always gave us trouble too. So I was kind of glad we handled him for the most part.
Not so much Scope. I feel like Scope got on base or scored a couple people almost every game, it seemed like.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it was always like RBI or a run by Scope. Yeah. So that's what Ohtani would do. That's the only thing Ohtani would give up. He would go six innings, give up five hits, one earned run, like I mentioned, the Scope home run. Walked one, which was it's always the number you look at most with Ohtani is how many people he walked. He only walked one and five strikeouts. And it's pretty funny, too, because when he was on base, because he did bat during this game, I believe it was in the fifth inning. I think it was in the fifth inning. He got on and he was trying to steal a base. And so people were saying, like, oh, do you want your pitcher to try to steal? Like, it's one thing for him to hit, get on base, and then, you know, do what you need to do, run the bases. But do you really want your pitcher trying? Like, and Ohtani can do it. Like, don't get me wrong, he can steal base, but do you want him pitching when that's his lower half that he needs? And it kind of came out later. It seemed like Joe was kind of like, yeah, I didn't like the wear and tear he was putting on his leg trying to steal bases. So that's why he kind of maybe got a little bit quicker of a hook than otherwise. So that was a little bit interesting to hear.
Yeah, you put him out there. You got to expect it, man. He's gonna
I just kind of find it. It seemed like he was doing it on his own, like kind of like, oh, I know I can do this. Because
he said my stat line for this week isn't good enough, and I need a stolen base in there too.
Yeah, and the funny part is that he tried to steal like twice. You know, one time on a foul ball, second time on a foul ball, I believe, and then like the next time, I don't think he went and like strikeout or something like that. But there was twice where he ran, and because of a foul ball or something, he had to go all the way back.
Yeah, I was actually almost more impressed with his defense that game. Came up, I think he covered first on one.
And he made like a diving play. Yeah,
ball down to third.
Yeah.
Came up with that. So I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, Otani's definitely getting better, getting more comfortable. I mean, everyone already knew he was kind of a freak athlete already coming over from Japan. And now that he's healthy, fully healthy, he's actually showing.
Yeah, and then I like his, we've talked about this before, but I like his personality's finally starting to show and the confidence.
I think that's why and, he has the confidence to do it.
The swag. The Otani swag's coming out, and he's like, you know, like we saw him wave that ball, you know, goodbye.
Right.
He threw up his hand when he's running the bases yesterday, like he hit a World Series walk off.
If you're watching this on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, when we play these highlights, you can see the actual play when it's happening during the game. And during that route, during the throw out at third, you know, the camera cuts to him, and he's like fist pumping and you know all excited about it because it was a great play, but he wasn't just like, give me the ball, let me go. It's like, all right, this is what I needed. Thanks for that, kind of saving me. And you don't see that very often from a lot of pitchers. But yeah, I think the confidence part of it is the reason why he is showing more emotion, showing more of the personality that he has. So that is definitely a lot of fun to see as the season goes. But in the seventh, Jose Iglesias would come up to pitch hit with the bases loaded.
As the pinch hitter, a non-starter getting a scheduled day off his feet. He picks on the first pitch and drives it into left field. Renjifo scores. Fletcher is held at third, and it's 3-1 Angels.
So 3-1 Angels, and with Taylor Ward coming up, he would blow it wide open.
Bases loaded. 0-3 tonight so far. Ward swings and sends a drive to left field. That one's got a chance, and that one is gone!
So Taylor Ward absolutely blows it open, makes it a 7-1 game. The bullpen, again, gets kind of sketchy for a little bit at the end of this game. The Giants would end up scoring four more runs to make it a 7-5 victory.
I know. I was checking on the game, and then I was watching In the Heights, the musical that was on HBO Max. And then I looked back, and I was like, oh, this game's good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I should never, ever say that with the Angels. Yeah, oh, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, whoo.
Yeah. It got a little
that escalated quickly.
It got a little sketchy for a little bit. Luckily, again, like I mentioned, they're able to hold it down. Angels take the first win of the series. Again, a four-game series. We've always talked about this. You got to take advantage of these bad teams. And to this point, the last two bad teams they've had on their schedule, the Royals and the Diamondbacks, they have taken complete advantage of it and swept them three games each. So obviously, this is like the third team in that bad stretch, if you will. Oakland sandwiched in there, and then we don't have to talk about what happened with them. Yeah. But Alex Cobb, we'll go to Friday now, and Friday was a little bit special before the game. And if you were anywhere on social media or fan of Otani social media, Angel social media, MLB social media, you got this message all over the
place. Doing is unprecedented.
It's unbelievable. It seems like every day he's doing something to make this ball.
Oh, my goodness.
It was 117 miles an hour off the bat.
Oh, and first pitch crushing!
Good production value, huh?
Wow. Wow.
If you've ever seen the video or you can't tell, before the game on Friday, Shohei Ohtani announced his official entry into the 2021 Home Run Derby in about like 2-3 weeks.
Has anyone before ever had an intro video?
Not an Angel, I can tell you that
much. I just don't think it's ever been a thing. Right? It was, I thought that's like the video you put out when you, you know, you select your team.
Bauer.
Like a Bauer.
That's the first thing I thought of, yeah.
I'm going to South Beach or something. Taking my talent to South Beach. But yeah, that's pretty crazy. And I don't think the Home Run Derby's had anyone that's had that much hype or the excitement.
I mean,
in a while.
Name wise, I think Vlad a couple years ago in 2019. I think the idea of wanting to see him out there was kind of hype-ish, but like I think at that point he was still kind of like working his way through like, you know, his rookie slump kind of deal. But like as far as coming in with the name, super hot, balls flying everywhere. Like I don't think there's been an announcement like this in nothing I can think of.
And then I'm going back to like, you know, the late 90s, you know, early 2000s when the big names used to do home run derbies. And then they just didn't want to get hurt after a while. Then
Trout has not done one for as much as people's team says,
oh, don't do it. And then the whole aftermath of you're gonna mess up your swing and all that stuff. But back when I grew up, like Ken Griffey Jr. is doing the derby every year.
As a kid,
Frank Thomas.
That was my favorite player, Ken Griffey Jr.
Because my favorite day of the year was
all I can remember is him. I believe it was at Fenway, backwards hat, sweet swing, super chill. I mean, he was cool before that was a thing. You know, I just thought that was so badass, and that's why as a kid I always liked the Angels, but I always rooted for Griffey just because of that one moment in my mind sticks out. Like I said, backwards hat, taking hacks at Fenway and killing the ball. Like that was my thing. It's like that.
Yeah. You would look forward to it. It was like, you know, you go out there and play wiffle ball before, watch the home run derby. And then the last, like we talked about this before, like the last, like, I don't know, 15 years, it's just been like rolling out some people, changing the format all the time. So this Ohtani thing's going to be pretty cool.
Did you ever, I know I did when I would watch it as a kid, you see those kids out there like shagging the balls that don't make it a home run. I'm like, how do you do that? I want
to
do that.
Dude, I saw like as this kid I knew did it one year. Like, he had to win like some little baseball like raffle. Run, pitch, and throw, kind of like the NFL does.
Right.
And so you got to do it. And then there's some kids out there, you're like, oh man, you need to get out of there.
Yeah, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I want to know if there's ever been a kid balls
like Ohtani's hitting him 115. Like,
that's what I worry about.
Y'all need to go.
Yeah. I want to see that too. If any kids have had the balls enough to try to jump up and try to rob one,
dude, that'd be dope.
That would be fun. That'd be too funny. But yeah, so that was Friday before the game. Ohtani, home run derby. We talked about it a little bit last time. This is going to be fun. I cannot wait for that to happen.
You know who was a good watch? That was an Angel that was in the home run derby a few years back.
Who was that?
Trumbo.
Oh yeah, because that
Trumbo had a solid performance.
That was Kansas City, right?
Yeah. Splash zone all day long. Mm-hmm.
Well, they showed too. As soon as this happened, I forgot who it was. I reposted it, but a guy, I think he covers the Mariners now, but he covered Colorado when Shohei and the Angels went there in 18, and they were showing his BP that year.
Oh yeah,
and if you ever been to,
it was like
Colorado
top or, deck and center.
If you've been to Colorado, like you know where, or seen it on TV, because I've never been, but I know where it is because it's TV. You see the bullpens, and then right above the bullpens there's like a second deck, and then above that there's a third deck, and Ohtani was hitting into that third deck. I mean, so he's done it before, and again, he's so powerful, he doesn't need to take huge hacks. Like I think what you're talking about, messing up your swing, doing that, like injury. If Ohtani stays in himself and just takes those kind of swings, BP swings, he's going to crush the ball all over that ballpark.
Oh, man.
But if he hits like, if he says, screw it, I'm going to hit like five or six the opposite way just to show off a little bit.
It's going to be insane. I'm excited. I want to fast forward to July.
Better event.
Whatever it is.
A better event for you. Home run derby, all-star game.
Home run derby.
Yeah. I would say if you can always watch one, I would go.
Back in 2010 when we hosted, the last time we hosted, I got tickets to the home run derby instead of the all-star game.
Oh, okay.
And the price point was exactly the same.
I can
except that derby was kind of
Who was the big name? Who won? Do you remember?
Big Poppy won.
Okay.
So that's a decent name, but right. Everyone else in between was like
not his caliber.
You might not even recognize some of the names now.
Mm.
Yeah. That's how bad it was.
We need to get our researcher on staff to start looking this stuff up while we do this. So anyways,
Stat boy.
We need a stat boy in the corner somewhere.
See how many mistakes we make each time.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know.
too much. Friday, June 18th, again against the Tigers, Alex Cobb looking to bounce back. Had a tough outing last time in Arizona. Obviously, the Angels came back to win that game. But that was kind of like we kind of mentioned before, the start before that was a super gritty performance and kind of showed that he still had that in him. wasn't able to try to get out of the situation in Arizona because of the NL and the pitcher spot. And at a certain point, you're down by so much, you need to get a guy that can actually hit up. And I think that's what hurt him there. But he looked to bounce back. Angels would get up early and get him some run support in the second inning.
Brings up Kian Wong. Drives that one into center field. Wong liked it. Hustling on around to Stassi. He will score the halo strike first.
So it makes it 1-0. Kian Wong, again, doing really well, does end up getting optioned, I believe, at the end of this game. But a guy where if someone goes down again, Rendon, who wasn't in this game quite yet, didn't play again on Friday. But, you know, if someone like that goes down, you can I definitely think you'll see Wong back up with the Angels. If that time ever comes, because I think he did enough, I believe, to deserve getting that call back up to be a utility. Like, obviously not like a starter, but like a solid utility guy.
I think that's the greatest asset a manager could have is a utility type of guy.
And outfield, second base.
And you know what's actually been pretty surprising is that's who Taylor Ward has become.
And but now he's a flat-out outfielder.
I know, but if you would have said, okay, what's Taylor Ward? Okay, he's a catcher. And then you said, okay, what is he? A third baseman.
Right.
And then he's played – he's got to have played a little somewhere else in the infield. I think he's probably played second before.
Third, I think.
I think he played Thurman at first at some point.
I think mostly was the corners and then outfield.
Yeah, but now he's an outfielder.
Now he's a center fielder. We go to a game Saturday. Who's playing center field?
Yeah, now he's hitting, you know, grand slams.
Exactly. So it just shows that getting guys at bats consistently can really change your perspective of certain guys.
Yeah.
So I mean, we were trying to kind of talk about this before, like on the way out to the game. It's like, hey, if Taylor Ward continues to rake these kind of numbers and make a name for himself in the outfield, and Joe keeps on doing what he's doing, eventually you're going to get Trout back. Eventually Joe's going to want, or eventually the Angels are going to want to call up Joe. So you're going to have, obviously Upton's going to be there. Obviously Trout's going to be there. Lagares probably will be there. So why not maybe, even if you're in the buying state, even if you're in the buying idea, why not flip a Ward? Obviously it's not going to be like for a top, you know, 50 prospect, but why not try to get maybe a younger prospect that maybe in a few years can be a top 50 guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that is a smart move. If he continues to show that he can, once given opportunities, he can absolutely start, you know, hitting for power and hitting
guys on base. Like we were saying, he's kind of a forgotten guy. You know, you always kind of attach yourself to overall prospects, right? Top one or two every year, especially down at 66ers. Those are the guys we're looking for. That's the guy you want. You get some autographs, make those relationships.
I remember when what's his name got traded for Simmons. Everyone was all we don't even know
Newcomb.
Newcomb, there it is.
Yeah, I got like five or six Newcomb balls right over to the left of you on this show. Wow.
But the good thing is, though, they don't have like an Angel logo on it. So you can, I mean, I think he's still in the Braves.
No,
I don't know. But anyways, if you're turned into something, you have those just in case.
Yeah, but you always like look for those guys and you always root for them. You hope they, you know, materialize.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't. And that's not just the Angels. That's across the board. Yeah. But we've seen a lot of that in the last few years. I mean, outside of like a Trout, obviously. I mean,
well, even like guys like Fletcher or Walsh, too. They're walking through. I mean, I guarantee you there's probably so many times Walsh and like Fletcher and like those type of guys were probably walking through Inland Empire going to get something to eat before the game and no one recognized it. Because I've seen guys do that before, but because we've been so close with them before, like, oh, that's so-and-so walking to get something to eat.
I feel like the game. Fletcher could walk through Angel Stadium now and a lot of people would just walk right by him. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But I know definitely he's done that at like Inland Empire. And like that's the thing. You just never know who – it's going to turn to what and when.
But it's cool. Like, so somebody you're not even counting on, like a Ward, all of a sudden is
Walsh,
playing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Walsh. I don't even know if he was in, like, you know,
any
consideration.
Plans. Long-term plans.
And then look what he's doing.
Yeah.
He was the demise of Pujols.
Right. And people were saying, too, like, coming into the offseason, well, if Walsh doesn't, you know, become the first base in the future, look who Freddie Freeman's a free agent at the end of the year, bring him home and stuff like that.
Bring back CJ Cron.
So, like, yeah, exactly. So now Walsh has definitely solidified that first base. But getting back to Friday, in the third inning, Taylor Ward, the guy we were talking about.
TW3.
There you go. Keeps on showing at Waterboy, I think, or something like that is on his Twitter. But he comes up and gets another RBI.
Oh, to the count. Ward drives that one toward left, toward the corner. It goes. It's down. Bounds up against the wall. Justin Upton, here he comes. Butter sends it to the plate. The relay, the slide, safe at the plate.
So Upton moving. That is first to home, I believe.
Upton 2.0. I love it.
Upton is moving. Upton looks good. Upton looks healthy.
Have you ever heard Taylor Ward speak?
I think I have.
I feel like I've never heard him talk on any type of postgame.
I got a feeling he's more like a Fletcher where he keeps it short and simple.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a great interview as far as like, oh, tell me about this and that with your interest. He probably doesn't expand on a lot of things.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's probably why. And that reminds me a lot of like a Fletcher type. So,
yeah.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. I just think he just rather not deal with that kind of stuff.
Wants to play ball, you know?
There you go. But yeah, so Taylor Ward makes it a 2-0 game. And Luis Rengifo would come up in the fifth to get his first home run of his year with the Angels.
Hitting it. Here's the 1-1. This ball's hit well into right center field. It's carrying deep out into right center. It is out of here.
So, again, that is Luis Rengifo's first home run of the year to make the game 3-0. And like I mentioned before, on the day that Ohtani announces his home run derby, he goes yard again.
Shohei drives it to right field, toward the wall. On!
What a rocket.
So, again, that's two home runs. We just kind of have this whole home run derby theme going now with Jared Walsh, another guy that we mentioned, comes up to bat and just absolutely unloads on baseball.
1-0. That one driven to right field. Get out your stopwatch. Get out your measuring tape. Out of here. Home run derby here in the bottom of the fifth.
Absolutely, Terry Smith. Home run derby in the bottom of the fifth. So you got home runs by Rengifo, you got a home run by Ohtani. You got a home run by Walsh. That is plenty of runs there alone for the game.
Yeah, I think on Instagram you posted that Oprah meme. You know, yeah, you get a home run.
That's pretty much what it felt like. Well, Cobb would in the sixth, give up an RBI double, and that would be it for him. He would end up going 5 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, a pitch count of 111. So not the most. What's the word I'm looking for?
Efficient
outing, but he gets into the sixth inning and he does bounce back from that outing.
I just like to see when pitchers throw over 100 pitches,
right?
Like that's like super non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. So not a bad job again, into the sixth inning, pitch count up there. Don't blame the pool at all in this situation, but with the score 10-2, and again, with a home run already hit that night, Ohtani shows why he's going to Colorado for the home run derby.
Shohei Ohtani to the opposite field. Oh!
Magic again for Ohtani. 21 home runs.
So again, at that point, 21 home runs on the year. I think that put him in tied for second that night. I don't think I think Vlad was still ahead by one, or he was close. So they would end up scoring one more run. The Angels would to make it 11-3, and that's exactly how it would end, 11-3 victory Friday night against the Detroit Tigers. Two home runs by Ohtani the day after he pitches.
Dude, such a baller.
And it's funny because you think Gooby was on there talking about, I think after his first home run, talking about after he pitched, he would be like, I'm just doing some running around the track and I'm good. You know what I mean? My legs are a little bit sore, this and that. And Ohtani's out here hitting bombs twice,
yeah.
You know, and then he goes over to Langston during a commercial break and goes to him and say, hey, remember when we were sore the day after we pitched? And they both looked at each other and said, yeah, not so much with Ohtani. I mean,
your legs are like jello.
Right.
Because if you're throwing at a high level, the impact.
Well, especially too back at that in those days, I mean, you talked about guys getting over 100 pitches back then. That's not uncommon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be odd to hear of a guy pitching, you know, 111, 112 pitches. And, you know, like you said, feeling it a little bit the next day.
Yeah. That's why you sign up to be a starting pitcher. You pitch every, 5 days.
Yeah.
Now it's like 6 days. But yeah, not Ohtani.
Not Ohtani. Not at all. So again, he gets two home runs on that Friday game. So now let's go to Saturday, where we were in the ballpark. Your first game since when?
2019, the Skyler. Tyler Skaggs, my apologies. The first home game after his death.
The combined no hitter.
Yeah, it was the last time we were all in attendance together at a game. And then I think I only went to two games that year, which is very sad. I hate to admit that.
You're not a real Angel fan, that's why.
Yeah, I'm not a real fan.
I don't care what's on these walls right now. You're not a real
prove fan. It, right? Right. You don't have season tickets, bro?
Receipts. We need receipts.
It's all good.
So, yeah. So, we're back. We were back. We tailgated a little bit before the game. It was nice to be underneath the A and kind of, you know, a little bit more low-key than we normally do. You know, the bus.
Yeah, it was weird. It was eerie out there.
There wasn't as many people.
No traffic or motion through.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a lot of people compared to, like, when we do tailgates in the past. Obviously, it's been, like, on Saturdays most of the time, maybe a Sunday here and there. But you mentioned it, like, coming in towards the A from the parking, from the entrance of the parking lot, there's normally, especially around the – if it's a 7 o'clock start, around like 5:30, 6 o'clock,
yeah, and you
start
seeing stream.
Traffic start picking up and constant cars coming through and parking by you and stuff like that. Definitely didn't happen this time. And it's kind of like, I don't say disappointing, just because it's like, oh, you wait so long for reopening day.
Yeah, man, I cranked out 150 custom buttons that whole day.
Right.
And then we couldn't even give them out. We're like trying to force them upon people. We're like, hey, just take them. And they're like, oh, I'm cool. Take them.
I swear it doesn't have COVID on it.
Yeah.
So, but we did there. It was still cool to get out there underneath the A. We did see a couple people that came by and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just good to get out there and tailgate a little bit before a game and not have to worry about anything.
And it was probably the most normal I've felt in a long time, just seeing a stadium full of people.
They have to wear a mask to get in.
Nobody's wearing masks. You see a few people out there, but yeah,
the lines are super long again.
Yeah, it's just like
that's like old days, times.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, we were there Saturday. Good seats. I liked our view. We saw a little bit of everything. Walked around again. Met some people as we walked around the concourse. Saw those long lines. But Patrick Sandoval on the mound for the Angels to make a start, trying to get another victory. I think this has been his second win of the season. And like we talked about before, he's a guy that I don't know how you take him out of the lineup or out of the rotation right now. I mean, that's the hard part is like, if you do, who's better?
No,
there's no one right now that's better
right now.
So Patrick Sandoval, again, on the mound for the Angels. The Angels would score on a fielder's choice in the second inning to make it 1-0. And after a day after he hits two home runs, Ohtani comes up again.
One out, 1-1. This is lifted in the air. This ball's hit well out into left field. It's out by the wall. Shot. Angels have a 3-0 lead, and here in the third, it's showtime.
So three home runs in a game and a at bat, or two at bats. That was the second at bat of the game.
He ain't a player. He just crushes a lot.
The ball
crushes. Jeez.
So again, another home run puts the Angels up 3-0 early in the game. But before anyone can really settle down, because even this one kind of caught up to me by surprise, I wasn't ready for it, Jared Walsh comes up to bat.
Here's the pitch. Walsh swings, drives the ball deep down the right field side. It is out of here. He hit that one down in Spezio country down the right side.
So Jared Walsh with his own home run again. Home run derby, feels like over the last couple of days, would make the game 5-0. In the sixth inning, Sandoval would give up a home run to Jonathan Scope, and Patrick would be done after a walk to Miggy. That run would end up coming around to score. So Patrick's final line is 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. He's becoming a little bit of a strikeout artist now. For the Angels.
And we were sitting out there and you're like, is that 6 strikeouts already? And
yeah.
I think we were like 3 in.
It seemed like it was quick.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
A little crafty
guy there. Yeah. But yeah, again, it looks great. He's pitching well. I do not see how or why they would even take him out of the rotation. A little bit of news that came down today. They are reinstating Quintana starting tomorrow. But they have yet to say what he's position or where his role is going to be, I guess is a better word. you have to think they're going to put him in the bullpen for right now.
Yeah, I see him as a middle reliever.
Yeah, right, a guy that can give, and this has been his thing for this year, is like, hey, you limit him to two innings, he's going to do all right. That third, fourth, fifth inning,
yeah,
you better hold on tight. So maybe he can be that two-inning guy, maybe three-inning guy, seeing that.
Yeah, I just saw him. I don't see him breaking that rotation right now. I don't see unless how. You're going to pull Bundy and switch him out.
The only guy.
But then it's like, is that really going to be an improvement?
That's not bad. Yeah.
Let's just keep it how it is. That's a lot
right now. Yeah, so. Like I mentioned, great outing by Sandoval going into the sixth inning. It would be 5-3 after the sixth inning. But Fletcher, a guy that does it all, he ends up putting down a bunt, which scores a run on a safety squeeze. Was it 1985 baseball you're talking
1985
about?
1985 baseball.
There you go. So makes it 6-3. And in this eighth inning, Fletcher comes up with men in scoring position and just continues to produce.
Who is 2-for-2 tonight and had that sack bunt squeeze to get another run across. And he gets one fair up the third baseline. Suzuki will jog around third and make it 7-3 Angels.
So, again, you heard it. 7-3 Angels get one more on a – I believe it was like a botched stolen base, stolen home. It was the base running was kind of weird because they took advantage of Tigers' lazy play, if you will.
Not taking care of the baseball.
Right. So, like, the Angels end up winning the game 8-3 on Saturday. So, now they're guaranteed at least a series victory, 3 out of 4 at least. There was a play earlier in the game. I couldn't find a good video of it, but it kind of took me by off surprise when it happened on Saturday. Was a pop fly to the catcher. So the catcher normally turns his back to the field because of the spin of the ball.
Mm-hmm. You take off your mask.
Take off your mask, throw it.
Throw it, find where it's at.
Grab it.
And then I think it has a lot to do with just the backspin.
Right.
That's why you turn your back.
Right. So he catches it, doesn't seem in a hurry at all to turn back around and throw it to the pitcher. So what does Fletcher do? He tags up from first to second. They throw the ball. It gets away from them. He advances to third. And then that's when I think the next play was when Ohtani came up and hit or two guys later is when Ohtani came up and hit the home run. But I have never seen a play like that.
Yeah, you know what that play is called?
Luck?
1985 baseball.
Oh, okay. There you go. I was close, kind
of. That's how they did in the 80s.
Yeah. You know what? You're around longer in it than I was.
I was only three.
I wasn't there yet. So.
All right.
But yeah, so stuff like that seemed to be really taking advantage of other teams' mistakes, and that's exactly what they did on Saturday too. Again, like I mentioned, take the first three games of the series. Overall, Saturday, how did you feel about it, or what was your experience being back in Angel Stadium?
I felt good. I got harassed when I was going through the metal detector. They said I couldn't bring a whistle in. It was attached to my keychain.
It's dangerous,
so,
dude.
So I kind of sent me off, you know. But lines were long. It was cool to be back, seeing people and, you know, hearing conversations and watching the bullpen and watching, you know, some of those interactions, watching those guys. Like, there's so many home runs going on, them going and doing their little
high five
little celebration thing that they got going on. But it was just nice to kind of like break the seal and be back. And the big cheese line wasn't long, so
we got some there. Otherwise, I mean, everything else was super
long. Yeah, and we were kind of talking about theories about that. Some of the concession stands were shut down, so that maybe that forced the other lines to be longer. People don't want to work anymore, so, you know.
Now they get political. But, yeah. I mean, it was, like I said, it was great being back. Great that it's at full capacity. Really looking forward to going back out there at some point again this season, because I know we'll be back there. Again, hopefully we'll get more at like more at a tailgate, more kind of interaction, because that's something that we really enjoyed with fans. But it was kind of weird. We kind of found out later that on the Angels website, they kind of put out there like no tailgating.
Yeah, which they were totally fine with.
Right.
They're just trying to discourage it. And
so we're setting up for the tailgate, and then we got the easy up. We got the chairs out. We got the cooler out. You know, now we're starting to pull the easy up out and kind of, you know, prop it up. And then the security guards on bicycles come by and we're like thinking, oh man, we're probably not going to be able to tailgate. Well, come to find out, you just can't have charcoal grills in the parking lot, which hasn't been allowed in what,
20 years?
Yeah.
Maybe more?
Yeah. So the guy says, hey, guys, just want to make sure you know the rules. There's one rule. And we're like, oh, cool. Probably like no tailgating or no alcohol in the parking lot. Right. All those ones that you're used to.
Where there's a sign literally
right behind us
that said no alcohol permitted on the in the parking lot. But that wasn't the one rule.
Meanwhile, Dan was drinking a private Bud Light or something.
Yeah.
It was a red cup. It's probably water. Okay. And then he goes, yeah, no charcoal. Briquettes, you know.
Yeah, no charcoal like, grills.
Oh yeah, yeah,
for sure.
And we were talking about back in the day, they used to have these big containers where you would dump all your, you know, your briquettes or whatever they're called in there. Yeah. So they cool them down.
I think you still see those like around the beach.
Yeah, at the beach. Yeah, you're right. That's where you see them at the beach.
Yeah, so
they moved them from the stadium to Huntington
because people would leave them out. People would drive over the top of them.
And their car would burn.
And the car would burn because it'd still be hot.
Come out from the game and your car's on fire.
Done. So, but yeah, it was so funny. So one rule, we're like, and there's no alcohol.
1985, you could do that.
1985, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It seems like forever since you've been able to do that. But,
yeah.
But no, so get out there, tailgate, have a good time. That's us. Tell them Halo, someone else sent you if you get in trouble. But other than that, if you don't get in trouble, we sent you.
Yeah.
So get out there, tailgate. It's open like that. Have fun, man. Baseball's back in this kind of capacity. And as baseball fans in general, it's really fun to see it like that. Really fun to see the tailgate. Barbecues are out. Families are out. Kids are playing catch and wiffle ball in the parking lot. It's, you know, like Chris kind of said earlier, it kind of now reminds you of, you know, old times and now kind of getting back to normal. Want to give a shout out to Wayne real quick on our Facebook. How you doing? We are on, like I said before, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So definitely check us out when we do these podcasts. We stream them live and take your comments or questions, anything while we do it. So getting now to Sunday, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there, all the dads. I got to play a little bit of golf with my dad and my brother. Went back home, split screen action, U.S. Open. Angels baseball, you know, worked out really well, except for the results of the game. But, you know, Dylan Bundy back on the mound again, still looking for whatever it was last year, whether it was the sticky stuff or something else. But whatever it was, he was still looking for it. But in the second inning, Bundy would get into a little bit of trouble. The bases were loaded with one out, but he would get out of the double play with a great play by Fletcher Iglesias to Walsh. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I missed it.
It was a spinning. I mean, it looked like a ballerina show out there with all the spinning.
I heard about it. I was at the Spaghetti Factory, man. I was trying to watch a little game, but I didn't want to be disrespectful, you know?
So the way the ball was carrying into the right field, Fletcher got it, had to do a little twirl to get it to second base. And because of where the ball was, Iglesias had to get it and do a little twirl to get it to first base, and it worked. And again, bases loaded, one out, double play, no harm, no foul. Bundy gets out of that kind of a shaky situation. But after a double by Jonathan Scope, again, defense would hurt the Angels when Fletcher would be charged with an error, with fielding error that would allow Scope to score, and that gives the Tigers a 1-0 lead after three. So again, like we mentioned, it just seemed like Jonathan Scope had his fingerprints all over this series, good or bad, just because, you know, he produced in the games they lost, but, you know, he put some pressure on the defense. Crazy things can happen. And so that's exactly what happened. But so Angels down early. In the bottom of the fourth, though, Jared Walsh would tie the game with a long ball, his 18th of the year, and it would be tied 1-1 after fourth. So 18 home runs by Jared Walsh. Man, even if we did that 25 or whatever for Otani with Walsh under over, we still would have been.
Yeah,
because I probably would have went under.
Yeah, I mean, with Walsh, he's you know, he had a good season last year, but that's one good season. Sample size is very small.
You figured he was in split time with Albert, so he wasn't getting nearly as much at bats as he is now.
And I mean, he's proven that it's not a fluke.
So does he get to 30, you think?
Who, Walsh?
Walsh, he has 18 right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's 30?
Yeah.
What do you think? 30. What do you think his final tally will be?
32.
What about Otani?
People always slow down second half, and there's actually like less games. Otani, ooh.
Does he hit 40?
Otani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hits 40.
Yeah.
Dang, you heard it here first, people. Otani hitting 40.
Dude, if Trout was healthy all year and if Rendon was, they would be like that. I think it was, if I get this wrong, don't get me. But the 1999 Angels or the 2000 that had Mo Vaughn, Garrett Anderson, Tim Salmon, and Troy Gloss all hit over 30 home runs.
Oh, wow.
It was like the first time an AL team ever did that.
So wait, that's what, four guys?
Yeah, four guys over 30. And so there's this cool giveaway they gave out. I used to have it up in the rafters, but it said Bomb Squad, and they're all wearing the periwinkle in front of the hats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, so it hadn't been done, so it was such a huge thing. But I think this team could have been the team that would have done it.
You would have had Trout, Ohtani.
You could even almost have like a Walsh. Upton could even get in there.
Upton. I mean, right now, if it were going to happen this year, you would have Walsh, Ohtani, Upton. Ooh, you need a third guy. I don't know who that fourth guy would be. I don't think. Do you think Trout gets close to 30 when he comes back?
Are you after all this?
I don't think so. Rough. I think that's too much time. That's too much time.
He's high 20s.
Yeah, but next year, something to shoot for. Because yep. I think you said, like you mentioned, you have the guys to do it
mm-hmm.
with Trout, Ohtani, Walsh, Rendon, maybe, and who knows? I mean. Stassi, no.
You never know.
You never know. But yeah, so in the fifth, Dylan Bundy would give up. Will give up a double to start the inning, and that was it for him in the fifth inning to start the fifth inning. So he only goes four innings technically. Gets into the fifth, doesn't record an out. Four innings, four hits, two runs. One of them earned, like we mentioned before, the bobble by Fletcher kind of cost him there. Two strikeouts, three walks, an 81 pitch count, too early, just right. What do you think about him about Madden taking out Bundy there?
I may obviously like to see him get deeper into the game, but I don't know. I'm fine with it.
I think
based off of your confidence in the guy and what he's
doing. I think that's what it is.
I don't know. You just haven't been showing me where I feel comfortable with that. And to run him back out there and kind of seeing, he's actually been in close to that situation. Let him go out there one more time, and that's when he gets shelled. So right. Then you're
like, why'd you take him out? Why'd you wait so long?
I mean, yeah, you're damned if you don't.
I kind of think it was one of those things where his past definitely played a factor. If this is
Bundy last year, he's going out another two.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you'll be fine. I know you'll shut it down after this. But yeah,
I think it came to me while we were doing this why Bundy has not had success this year.
Why is that?
They're fans.
Wow.
He's a fanless pitcher. His best year he's ever had in his career came last year.
Interesting.
Had some terrible years in Baltimore, some so-so years.
Right.
And then he comes to Anaheim.
Nobody in the stands.
Nobody does well. Short season.
No one distracts him, I guess. I don't know. I think
it's a fan thing. He likes the cardboard cutouts better.
They don't talk, probably.
Yeah, they don't boo.
They're too loud.
Yeah.
The cardboard cutouts don't boo.
You heard it here first, people.
Exactly. That's Chris comes out, says Ohtani's going to hit 40, and all you need to get Bundy back on track is empty out the stadium completely for his days that he
likes COVID.
There you go.
God, I don't think he likes COVID.
That sounds so bad. Phrasing. So after the fifth, it would be 3-1, but in the bottom of that inning – has to be MVP favorite at this point. Shohei Ohtani, the man all over Chris's shirt right now on our YouTube, comes up with Fletcher on base, hits his 23rd home run of the year to tie the game up 3-3. At this point, I believe he's tied now with Vlad Jr. for the top number of home runs this Major League.
I don't know what the at-bat comparison is, but I guarantee you Vlad Jr.'s had –
That's interesting. Yeah.
A significant amount more of at bats.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because there were some games earlier in the season where Ohtani was rested or, after a pitch, after he pitched or something like that. So he's got to be missing or at least 50, I would say 50 bats less.
Yeah. That's a very good point. And not to mention he has more stolen bases than Vlad Jr., he has more wins than Vlad Jr., more strikeouts than Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
Lower ERA than Vlad Jr. So definitely I think the MVP favorite. I don't care if
it's just cooler.
And it's too, like, this is
it's just sexier to,
okay. And someone brought this up. I heard on a podcast, if Vlad, cause I think he until Ohtani tied him, was favorite to get the Triple Crown or was leading in all those categories. if Vlad Jr. gets the Triple Crown this year, Otani, again, hits 40, wins 11 games, has an ERA of 3.45 or something along those lines, who wins the MVP? Otani because of what he did all over the place, or something historically like a Triple Crown?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you go, like the word says, most valuable player. Are the Angels even in it without him right now? I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of been their idea when voting Trout MVP after all these years.
Yeah, but I mean, we would finish in third place and Trout would still win it. So
yeah,
it did give me hope that the award was kind of still intact, that we weren't just going for who's on the front.
Yeah.
You know, who's, you know, who goes to World Series, goes deep into the playoffs, that you could still win that.
Yeah.
And still be valuable to your team. And if you remove Otani from this lineup, it would
be totally different.
Yeah, it'd be totally different and just wouldn't have that energy. And even the ballpark and fans are excited again. And like with the Troutless Angels.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Now, which we've have experienced in the past.
And that saved.
That's like, oh my gosh. It's like you're in this doom state of mind. Like,
you're at the Angel game on Saturday, and all of a sudden you hear chants of MVP, MVP. And then you look at it, like, oh no,
it's not Trout.
It's not Trout. It's Otani. Wow. Yeah. I haven't seen that in, you know, ever.
And
an MVP Trout.
And it is, Trout. Like, people say it's must watch TV. Like, we are Otani's up in there. Especially outside of Trout, you just don't feel that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not just Angels fans. We're talking nationally. Even though I did talking baseball to someone in the office today, they didn't know who Shohei Ohtani was. And I just walked away and said, I'm going to go respond to some emails now.
Exactly, yeah. So it was day 3-3 all the way to the 10th inning. Rossell Iglesias comes in the 8th, does a great job in the 9th, comes out again for the 10th. So now you're working on his second inning. And we have seen this before. Obviously, the Seattle bases loaded, no out situation is the first thing that pops into your head. Gets those outs, comes out, closes the game in the 9th inning. So, I guess it's not unheard of. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like something you want to do on a consistent basis just because it's happened once or twice.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the game that you're in. And it's just not your typical situation.
Because it worked once doesn't mean it's going to work every time.
Nah, that was that wasn't the norm at all. And then you try to roll them out there too, and at the end of a series, it's hot out.
Right. It's just, and then two, we were at the game, and when we were at the game Saturday, we're by the bullpen, and he actually got up twice to throw the warm up because before the late runs, it was getting, you know, they were kind of planning out to see what was going to happen. And he was warming up, and then he sits down, and then for whatever reason, again, the 9th, again, wasn't necessarily like super close, but yet he started warming up again. So in theory, you're thinking like, for the most part, he pitched the day before, if you think about it, because it's going up and down twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, like, for the one inning, for the 9th inning, that makes complete sense, because you're not going to need a save at this point, because you're home, you're going to win on a walk-off. So you don't necessarily need a save. You're hoping that walk-off comes in the 9th. In the 10th, I don't know. It felt weird. I feel like they're going to that well too many times because it has happened before. But Rossell would give up 2 in the 10th, and the Angels weren't able to respond to that, end up dropping the game 5-3, losing in 10 innings, dropping that final game of the series, still taking, like I mentioned, 3 of 4. And when you look at it as a whole, as far as the bad teams they played, they take, 9 out of 10.
Yeah, you got to be happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, obviously we prefer a four-game sweep. Four-game sweeps are huge.
It's nice.
Like, you know, nice. We say, it's a two-game sweep. But four-game, you take a chunk. You secure wins. You look at a 162-game schedule. You just locked in 4 wins. I know it sounds very obvious.
Right.
But, like, at the end of the season, those are the games that are going to make or break you, I feel.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we're going to take advantage of that, which they have. Now the schedule gets a little bit more difficult moving forward, for at least the immediate future. We'll talk about that a little bit right after this. You work hard and you play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteak.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts
to USDA Prime to American-style Kobe, hard-to-find specialty cuts, and more. Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it super easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash-frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City Strip, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even a complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your home this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD. That's KansasCitySteaks.com. Promo code SD. Again, that's KansasCitySteaks.com. Promo code SD. And we are back. And right before the break, I kind of talked about the upcoming schedule for the Angels. Obviously, we're recording this Monday night. Quick two-game series against San Francisco at Angel Stadium. You have Andrew Heaney pitching Tuesday. Shohei Ohtani, must-see Shohei on Wednesday. After that, off Thursday, and this is kind of what I was talking about before, not only do you have San Francisco coming in Tuesday, Wednesday, but right after that, on that next weekend, so you know, a couple days from now, Friday to Sunday, you're in Tampa Bay. So again, another good team. They struggled against Seattle for whatever reason up in Seattle, but now they're going to be back home. Maybe it was just a travel. That's a long travel from Tampa Bay to Seattle. That's a long way from home. So you're going to have them in Tampa Bay, and then after that, pretty much a week from today, they're going to be in New York to face the Yankees. So the
as long as you don't say Oakland, I feel okay.
So you have San Francisco, Tampa Bay, and New York.
I don't know about you. When you see them play at Yankee Stadium, it's always kind of cool.
It is. I still get worried because the Yankees are a team where they have struggled this year. And then for a little while, the Angels were actually had a better record, I believe, than them this year. They've kind of turned it around a little bit. The Yankees have. But they're always a team that scares me because they have those big names. And if they ever do somehow click, they can get really good really quick.
And because, like, you know, it's a short porch and there's a jet stream.
Yeah.
And you have the marine layer that keeps the balls in. Yeah. They got the jet stream. You hit it right there and, like, the alley, it just flies. There's
been so many times where you look at it like, oh, okay, cool. He's going to get underneath it. Oh, it's Carey. It's Carey.
Yeah, I remember Weaver. Oh. I think it was Weaver just super frustrated there. Like, it was a routine pop fly and then the ball's out and he's just like putting his hands on it.
Like, head. I don't know what else to do. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like,
oh, there's nothing you can't do.
So we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier in the podcast. Shohei Ohtani does get AL Player of the Week coming out today. Batting just, and this is just for the week, batting under just under 300, 9 RBIs, 6 home runs. Again, this isn't a week. That could be a month for some players.
That's decent.
Yeah. Not to mention,
it could be a career for some people.
Not to mention, he also made an outing, made a pitching start in that week, going 6 innings, 1 earned runs, 5 Ks, and the
how many strikeouts, though? Come on.
I mean, come on. You can do better than that. Yeah. It's actually, I want to bet on that, so I'm actually happy. The under over was 6.5. I'm like, I'll let my friend take the over because he wanted to do it. Yeah. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll just take the under just because. And he gets 5, and I was like, all right. So it worked out. So
now I'm talking about strikeouts at the plate.
Oh, yeah. Who knows about that? Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Dropping bombs. But, yeah, so he ends up winning AL Rookie of the Week. Great outing by Ohtani. Hopefully he continues to build. He's because they're definitely going to need him this week. And definitely until the end of the All-Star break, because that's when Trout is scheduled to come back or start seriously kind of setting a date is after the All-Star break.
Yeah, and it's kind of encouraging that, you know, the Angels are still hanging in there and had a kind of decent water run where it's nice to be operating under, like right at the brink or a little bit over. And I know we need to start, you know, getting some momentum, building up, you know, you're 5 games over, you're 10 games over. That's how you win divisions. But to be where we're at without the greatest player in baseball.
Yep. I mean, I think that's like, a very,
you're going to get in, that's going to get injected into your lineup. But historically the Angels actually do better. I think the overall record is better without Trout.
It has been this year.
Yeah. It's a winning record. It was when he broke his, I think his thumb.
He tore a ligament in his thumb.
When he was sliding into second. Yeah. Where's the, you know, oven mitt. But the Angels were better that year too. So yeah. I don't know. Hashtag trade Trout.
I don't know. I'll go that far. Nah, I did find a tweet from Matt Birch, the communications manager for the Angels, and follow him at Matt Birch 12 on Twitter. He says, with Max Stassi winning last week, the Angels have consecutive AL Players of the Week winners for the second time in club history. The last time, I'm asking you this, last time was in 2003. Can you guess the two players?
Darren Erstad?
No.
Tim Salmon?
Nope.
It's usually always the people that aren't your obvious choices. I don't know.
So in the week of May 11th or May 12th to May 18th, Scott Spezio. In the week right after, May 19th to the 25th, Troy Gloss.
Okay. Should have got the Troy Gloss on there.
So that's the last time it happened, and it happened again. Max Stassi and Shohei Ohtani. Maybe Max Stassi will be a Scott Spezio type, where he's like, oh, I remember him. He's a good player for the Angels. I liked him. And then Ohtani's going to be like the Troy Gloss, where he was like the team for a little while.
Yeah. Well, you don't win the World Series without Scott Spezio. No. So.
Well, if the Angels are going to make a serious run for a playoffs, they're going to need Stassi. Yep. I mean, you just need another bat.
Yeah, since Stassi came back, we're a completely different team.
Yeah, we'll have keep Stassi on.
Pitchers feel more confident with Stassi.
But it's weird, though, too, you say that, and then all of a sudden.
They say they prefer Suzuki.
Ohtani does. I mean, the last handful of times Ohtani's been out there, it's been Suzuki. So, I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously, if Ohtani feels more comfortable, I mean, you had that situation, I think, with Kershaw and some other big-name pitchers where the team kept on a specialty catcher for their guy.
Yeah, Austin Barnes is still in the Dodgers because Kershaw's guy.
Yeah, and that's
what Kershaw wants, he gets, and what Ohtani wants, he's going to get.
And you cannot blame them at all for that. So, again, before we go, only two more times to really talk about this because it is happening this Saturday. Obviously, that is our fundraiser event out in Fullerton. I'm always jacking up this name. Barrel and Stave in Fullerton. Again, that's 250 West Santa Fe Avenue, Unit 20 in the city of Fullerton between the hours of 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Come out. 10% of all the proceeds during that time will go to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. So come out, see us, have a beer. Chris talked about buttons. We have plenty of buttons to give away.
Yeah, but mad swag. We're probably just going to go around the garage and find some stuff.
Bobbleheads. We're already kind of getting some bobblehead giveaways. We are going to have.
We may have a t-shirt launcher by that time. Geez, we'll see what's up.
So, yeah, the way Chris works, it works fast. So we'll see what happens. But we also have, I guess, bobbleheads and stuff like that. We talked about we're going to bring also. But some of the bigger items, I guess, if you want to call them that, we got a family four pack of tickets to the Friday game. July 2nd, it's a 6:38 start against the Baltimore Orioles. And then if you're watching us again on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, you can see the actual photo. The guy who donated this, Ryan Burke, friend of the podcast, friend of Halo Haven in general, great guy. We've met him a handful of times and always a good guy. Donated his tickets, his season tickets for this game. This picture on was taken Saturday. He was at the game Saturday.
Wow.
So again, if you're watching this on our social media stuff, this is your seat. I mean, section 335, row A. I mean, there's not anything better than that. Plus,
is that the fancy level?
The fancy level. Plus free parking.
Oh.
So,
and you can tailgate, folks.
And you can tailgate. So, I mean, this is a great value. So that's probably like one of our bigger giveaways we're going to do there, but also we also have a pair of, go ahead and say the right way of saying
it. We figured out the correct pronunciation. It is Canaan
sunglasses,
not Canon, like I've been saying for about a month.
We met Brent. He's the guy that works for them, kind of hooked us up, gave us these extra pair to donate and raise money for the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. Met him again Saturday night. Just went to go talk to him.
Man, he was talking about all the specs as far as the material.
A lot of that went over my head because of the material stuff. I was like, it sounds fancy.
It was a lot of chemistry.
Yeah,
it was. A lot of resin talk. But I was like, hey, man, once you said they're handcrafted in Italy, I was sold. Right. And I told him, it's like you're walking around with HD vision. Life seems brighter and more optimistic. It's awesome.
No, it worked out great.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help your golf game, like you said, but you look good.
Yeah,
doing
exactly.
This.
There you go. Take a picture.
You got to catch a pair of these sunglasses. These things retail for over $200.
Yeah,
These aren't some run-of-the-mill type of deals.
These aren't your 7-Eleven specials.
Yeah, these aren't your Folkleys or anything, you know?
So, again, that's, what is it?
Not Kanon, Kanan.
Kanan.
Kanan.com or at Kanan on Instagram and Twitter. Check it out. Check out their inventory. Again, we will be there. There will be a set out there for you to win on the raffle. And then I guess our next other biggest giveaway is a signed ball by Brandon Marsh. We were able to get to him at Salt Lake when they're in Vegas. Got a ball signed by Brandon. That's going to be also up for a raffle when we get out to Fullerton on Saturday. Again, this Saturday, guys. So definitely looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to, I guess anytime we kind of talked about this too, when we went to the game, anytime you meet fellow Angel fans for, especially for like the first time, or maybe you've only met them a few and they start talking, you know, Angel fans, you kind of learn more about them. It's always a lot of fun. So
again, yeah, it's cool to hear stories, things you never knew, a different perspective, a different journey, become lifelong friends with some people, some people not so much, but it's fun. And if you don't follow the Tyler Skaggs Foundation, a lot of the money that they raise goes to help, you know, people in need during the holidays. I think they did a Thanksgiving dinner
and they just gave out,
pass out, and they give out scholarships for local high school athletes. They're doing like a showcase, all sorts of stuff. So that's pretty cool stuff. So,
yeah, so
it's definitely a noble foundation to support. And continue on the legacy of Tyler Skaggs.
Yeah, so again, that's going to be Saturday, June 26th. So this Saturday. So if you're listening to this Monday or Thursday or Friday or whenever, that Saturday we will be in Fullerton. Again, Saturday, May 26th, 250 West Santa Fe Avenue, Unit 20.
Just type it into Google Maps.
Google it.
Barrel and Stave. Barrel and Stave. It's only got to be one of those.
No, actually, there's another one, I think, in Santa Fe.
Oh, really?
Or I don't know. Well, it says Santa Fe. Maybe. I don't know if it's in Santa Fe or if because of the street same Santa Fe. I don't know.
Cool.
But just make sure you're going to the one in Fullerton if there is more than one.
All right.
But we will be there again. It's between 11 and 4. 10% of the proceeds go to Tyler Skaggs Foundation for your beer and your food and all that stuff.
And we're also partnering up. This is the Bearded Villains. Don't be scared. They look mean. Family. They got these big old beards, but they're nice guys and always running, always doing different charitable causes. So definitely a great partnership there.
Yeah. So again, the idea is come out, buy raffle tickets. We have these huge Halo Haven and Bearded Villain mugs that we're going to put the raffle tickets in. And when it's time to pull out a name, again, you just need your name and some way to contact you. So you don't have to necessarily be there we would love for you to be there to get your prize. If not, on the ticket, leave a phone number or social media handle somewhere where we can either call you or DM you, text you, something like that.
Last four of your social security code on the back of the card.
I am not I'm not responsible for any of that. So definitely check it out. You put your ticket in the mug. We'll throw it in the hopper when it's time to pull it out. We'll give it a couple spins. Winner, boom, there you go. So really looking forward to Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. Again, 11 to 4 o'clock out in the city of Fullerton. So, and all the money that we get for the raffle is going to definitely go to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation as well. So looking to get a nice big pot of money to go to the Skaggs Foundation and really help out Carly and Debbie with everything they're doing now that summer's coming up, you know, baseball camps are coming up and trying to get some kids out to baseball camps that maybe can't afford it.
Yeah. Otherwise. And if you're watching this, it's not too late to donate something to the cause. So hit us up on social media and allangelspodcast@gmail.com, and we could help get your item to the bidding stage.
There you go. So again, that's going to be allangelspodcast@gmail.com or our social media stuff at @Halo_Haven. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, go check out the YouTube. We got some interviews on there recently for last week, Red Bollinger and Reed Demers, who, by the way, last thing.
Or did he get a bunch of strikeouts
like 14 strikeouts since he's been on the podcast? Yeah. I'm just saying six innings.
That's crazy.
Two walks. So a 14 strikeout, the two walk day, I think it's not bad.
So if you're an Angels prospect and you're listening to this,
slide in DMs.
Yeah.
We'd love to talk to you.
Because we will promise a greater performance. It's guaranteed. Put it on the board.
This is not illegal either. So with that being said, thank you again. We'll be back. Thursday is an off day. We should be back Thursday. Again, my house is getting painted, so that's kind of a chaos thing right now. But if everything is back to normal, definitely be back Thursday to talk about the quick two-game series against San Francisco and look even deeper into the Tampa Bay series that weekend. And the last hurrah, I guess, to get out there about the Barrel and Stave fundraiser on Saturday. So
you're saying it right.
There you go. Good. I'm glad because I'm not drinking today.
Yeah.
That's a big
part. That's pretty much
Yeah. So, but Saturday – whole different story.
Just to support charity.
Exactly. Why not? Right? Great cause. Yeah. Great cause. I'm trying to do my part as well.
Yep.
So that's going to wrap it for this edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Daniel Garcia.
I am the curator.
And you've listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.